all of the ministerial staff and to all of the officers of this great church, and to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we greet you in the joy of the Lord and say to you, congratulations on 13 years of ministry. And I'm sure the devil never thought that you'd make it this far. But somebody called the devil a liar. And today you are proving that to be true. So we thank God for you. In the book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Mark, chapter 2. And verses 1 through 12. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive him. Not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." May God bless his word. I want to talk to you on this 13th anniversary celebration about the power of the preached word. The power of the preached word. Everywhere that Jesus went throughout his 3.5 years of public ministry on this earth, he always seemed to draw attention. People were constantly listening to him speak, observing his works, rationalizing his methods, questioning his purposes, evaluating his accomplishments, scrutinizing his teachings, and becoming amazed at his miracles. If he had been living today, he would have constantly been making the headlines. But even back then, word quickly spread about when he was to pass by a certain place or become a guest at a certain residence. And so it was on this particular occasion that it was noised that he was in the house. And I believe it doesn't make any difference whether he is in the house or in the heart. Others will soon become aware if Jesus is present. They couldn't hide him then, and they can't hide him now. Somebody ought to say amen. Here, as no doubt on many other occasions, the house where Jesus was became full and overflowing. It became overflowing with those who were eager to see Jesus, those who were hungry to hear the word, those who were wanting to see his power, those who were desiring to witness his glory, those who were longing to feel his presence, those who were anxious to know him just a little bit better, and even those who were hoping to receive his blessings. Anybody come in to receive a blessing from the Lord? But whatever the reason that they were there, nevertheless, the house was full, and so it was so full that nobody else could get in. What a blessing that would be today to see the house where Jesus' presence is become full and overflowing. It would be such a blessing to see a full sanctuary of worshipers and a full choir of singers and a full class in the classroom with people eager to hear the word. What a thrill it would be to have altars full of prayer warriors and full because of an eagerness to repent, full because of a hunger and thirst after righteousness. Full because there is a burning desire to get closer to the Lord. And he preached the word unto them, the Bible says in verse 2. Christ knew the power of the word of God. He knew that it was the word that revealed man's need of God. Jesus knew that it was the word that brought convictions to guilty hearts and that showed one the plan of salvation and that directs the footsteps of the wise, that makes for a sure foundation to build a life upon, that gives one spiritual strength. The word, Jesus knew, was the only thing that really could provide comfort and peace of mind. If you don't have the words, you don't have much going on. And Jesus knew, evidently, he knew that it was the word of God that would inspire those who were discouraged and that would uphold those that are weakened and assure those who are frustrated and bless those that are burdened and enlighten those who are ignorant and instruct even those who are foolish. The word will do that. Amen. Jesus knew that without the word. And we need to understand that today, without the word, your faith in God will never mature. Amen. Amen. Your confidence in God will never develop unless you study the word of God. Your knowledge of God will never increase, and your hope will never become established, and your joy will never be full and complete, and even your understanding of how God works will never be clear unless you have the preached word. Jesus knew that without the word, your soul would never become satisfied. There is a time in the worship experience to sing the songs of Zion. It's a time to pray at the altar. It's a time to teach in the classroom, a time to fellowship with other Christians. There's a time to meditate upon the Lord and to have personal devotions. It's a time to lift your hands in praise unto God. And you ought to praise him when you come into his sanctuary. But there is also a time when everybody ought to sit down, be quiet, and hear the word of God preached. I don't know what Jesus was preaching about that day, but I do know that it brought a conviction upon at least four men in the sanctuary.
four men who immediately united their effort to bring another man to Jesus. Let me say that again. I don't know what Jesus was preaching about that day, but it brought conviction, amen, to at least four men who immediately united in their efforts to bring another man to Jesus. Let me say that again. I don't know what he was preaching that day, but I know there were at least four men who got convicted, amen, and they immediately united in their efforts to get somebody saved.
They realized that Jesus had what this man needed. Amen. Something that the church needs to realize again, that Jesus is the one who has what you needed. Y'all ain't talking to me. I said, Jesus is the one who has what you need. Amen. That's why so many folk would not have been so overtaken by the prediction that the Lord was coming back, contrary to what the Word said. If you had the Word in you, you wouldn't have been afraid at all. Jesus is what he needed. One man probably could not have brought this sick man to Jesus by himself. And two men would have had to struggle in order to do it. Three men would have found it an awkward complication. But four men with determination and cooperation could do it. And they did it. Look at somebody and say, determination and cooperation can get the job done. Amen. Amen. Somebody had to have determination, and there had to be some cooperation in order for you to get to these 13 years right now. Somebody said, we can do it. And you did it. Seldom is one person solely responsible for bringing somebody to Jesus, but most of the time it requires prayers and then a witness and then love and then concern and then help from several people working together trying to get the job done. Now notice that the scriptures say that this man was sick of the palsy. I don't know how long he had been sick. I don't know exactly how sick he was, but I can't help but believe that he was not only sick of the palsy, he was probably sick of being sick. Anybody here sick of being? Now, the reason why some are not healed of their sickness is because they're not sick enough of being sick. You're not talking to me. The reason why there are some folks stuck in the situation that they are in is because they're not tired enough of being stuck. I ain't come down your street yet. Amen. The reason some folk are still locked behind the same prison walls, amen, of the stuff that they've been struggling with is because they haven't gotten sick enough of it, amen, in order to break out of it. Look at somebody say, get sick of it so you can break out of it.
Why
are people stuck? Because they don't understand the promises of God. They don't believe that God can heal them. They are afraid of what others might say. They are afraid of what God might ask them to do. Huh? They just don't want anybody anointing them with oil. And some people just enjoy the attention of sympathy. And so they would rather stay where they are. And maybe why some are not healed is that they wouldn't have anything to complain about if God healed them. They leave me where I am. Have you ever met some folk, all they do is complain? Every time you see them, they have a complaint about, amen, it could be something silly. I've had this headache for 3 days. Well, you know, my legs hurt. Well, you know, I just can't get. Aren't you sick of hearing people complain? There's too much complaining in the church, and there's not enough. Look at somebody and say, you ought to give God some praise. Hey, every now and then you ought to stop complaining. You ought to talk to me. You ought to stop looking for sympathy. Amen. And tell somebody, look, I've been in this thing long enough. I'm grown up now. Amen. I ought to be able to encourage myself in the Lord. I don't need you to pray for me. I can pray for myself. Touch somebody and say, you're shaking.
take it off and put it under your feet.
It's a sad thing that people have to get sick. I mean, really sick of their problems before they allow God to solve them. Really sick of your circumstance before you allow God to improve you. Sick of your spiritual condition before you will allow God to change it. Sick of your sin before you will allow God to save you from them. How sick do you really have to get of your misery before you're willing to allow God to comfort you, and sick of your burdens before you will allow God to lift them off for you? Look, sick of your emptiness before you will allow God to fill you with His goodness and His mercy and His love and His grace. Now notice that although the house was overcrowded, these four men would not give up until they got this man to Jesus. Amen. They may have had to do something different than they had ever done before, but they were not going to give up. Amen. I'm coming down your street in a minute. They may be criticized and discouraged by others for what they were doing, but they still would not give up. They may have had to put up with some extra stuff that they normally would not have put up with, but they did not give up. They may have had to fail at faith, amen, but they had to try again, amen, in a different manner in order to get the job done. See, sometimes you got to make a change. Sometimes God will tell you, you can't just go through this door. You got to go to this door and this door and this door. Why? Because I need to know whether or not you do whatever you need to do in order for me to do what you need. They knew that Jesus was the one that this man needed, this sick man needed, and they were going to make sure they got him to Jesus. And so as these four men, they either tore or ripped or cut open the roof, big enough to lower this man down through it, who was laying on a pallet of some sort. Can't you just hear folk, the critics, condemning their efforts? The doubters questioning their motives. Y'all don't know people like that, huh? The unspiritual detesting their tactics. The carnal opposing their methods. The jealous becoming angry at their disturbance. Amen. The lukewarm just sitting there, not sure what's going on and not sure if they even wanted to stay or leave. You know how some folk are in the church when they start seeing stuff go on. Hey, amen, amen. They won't shout. They won't clap. They won't pray. They won't sing. They sit there in their lukewarm suits and dresses. Hey, amen. Stone faced. Hey, amen. But guess what? Don't matter. You go ahead and give God praise. Don't matter. You go ahead and wave your hand. Don't matter. You go ahead and do your dance. Don't matter. You go ahead and sing your song. Look at somebody and say, it don't matter what you do. Folk will talk about you when they see you trying to get better. I wish I had a witness up in the house. He ever had friends get mad at you just because you're trying to get better? Get mad, hater! I'm trying to get better! And so in spite of all that opposition and the glaring looks, you ever walk down the aisle and you just happen to turn around and you see folk looking at you a certain way? Whoa! Whoa, whoa, whoa. What'd I do? In spite of the opposition, the looks, the heated words they may have encountered, these four men would not give up. Who am I talking to? I said these four men would not give up. And no doubt they were called religious fanatics, but they didn't give up. Their endeavors may have been called foolish, but they didn't give up. They may have been scorned and laughed at and mocked, but they would not give up. They were determined to get this man to Jesus, no matter how difficult it was going to be, no matter what the opposition they encountered. They couldn't save him, but they knew Jesus could. They couldn't heal him, but they knew Jesus could. So they did not give up. I'm talking to somebody, don't give up. I know it may have been a while. I know you've been resting. I know you've been crying. I know they've been criticizing you. I know the devil's been discouraging you. But I stopped by this morning on my way to heaven to tell you, don't give up. Don't you dare give up. You hang in there until you get your blessing. Keep on knocking until the door is open. Keep on praying until you get your healing. Keep on praising him until you see a change come. Look at somebody and say, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Don't get disappointed. The Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord knows all about you. And he knows where I'm. So glad he knows where I am. He knows where I am every day. He knows where I am every hour. He knows where I am every minute. I don't know about you, but I'm glad, because in my mind sometimes I believe people forgot all about me. But at the end of the day, when I lay down in my bed, amen, and I pull the covers over me, I know whose hands I'm in. I know God is taking. I know. So when Jesus, when he saw their faith in verse 5, he did something. He did something. But notice that it was not when Jesus saw their good works. It was not when he saw them keeping the law. It was not when he saw their suffering friend or their curiosity or their interest in him. It was not when he saw their concern for humanity or their tithes and their offering. It was not even when Jesus saw their compassion and their sympathy toward others. But it was rather when he saw their faith. Jesus always sees your faith. And it never goes unnoticed. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Now notice that the first thing that Jesus did for the man was to forgive him of his sins. As a matter of fact, that's the first thing that Jesus wants to do for anybody today. Amen. Amen. Although some of you may need a physical healing, he wants to save you. Some of you may need a divine comfort, he wants to save you. Some of you may want to become a decent citizen, but he wants to save you first. Some of you want to be led to green pastures and still waters, but he want to save you first. Some of you need solutions to difficult problems, but he want to save you first. He want to save you first. He got solutions to your problem, but you need to get saved. Y'all ain't talking to me. Amen. Amen. You might need a financial miracle. And guess what? He can give you a financial miracle. But the first thing that Jesus wants to do is to get you saved. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Don't you leave here. Don't leave here on your way to hell. Don't you leave here without getting saved first. You don't come to God's house begging for God to do something for you and you ain't saved. He says, I need to save you first. After I save you, I'll give you a financial. After I save you, I'll fix your family. After I save you, So the law could not forgive his sins, but Jesus could. The priest could not forgive his sins, but Jesus could. the rules and regulations of the church could not forgive his sin, but Jesus could. Ceremonies and traditions could not forgive his sin, but Jesus could. And the disciples could not forgive his sin, but Jesus could. Theology could not forgive his sin, but Jesus could. Not even the church could forgive his sin, but Jesus could. And he did. It is said of certain scribes present who were just sitting there. You know how some folks just sit there. No doubt just sitting there questioning, grumbling, complaining, criticizing, judging, doubting, whispering to one another. Sound like church folk? See, just as it was then, so it is today. There's always seem to be some people around who don't like what's going on, who don't approve of who's being honored or recognized, or who don't think much about the methods employed, or who don't agree with who's in charge, or who don't have compassion or sympathy for other folk, or who don't recognize the value of bringing somebody to Jesus. Always folk just sit. I don't know why people come to church to just sit around. I don't come to church to sit around. I come to church to get a blessing, to get a breakthrough. I come to church to see miracles, to hear testimony, because sometimes I just need somebody who is able to stand up in the midst of the sanctuary and say, God is still healing. God is still making a way. God is still saving. God is still opening doors. God is just one prayer. I wish I had a couple of people to just wave your hand and say, I know you're right. Amen. I don't want to come to church to see some cold-hearted, amen, some folk who ain't never look like you sat down with a bottle of vinegar in your hand. Amen. I wish I had somebody here. Somebody who don't mind giving God some praise. Somebody who don't mind lifting up hands. Somebody who don't mind standing up and saying, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for what? Thank you for making a way. Thank you for opening the door. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for keeping my family. Thank you. Thank you for your protection. Thank you. Thank you for your power. Stop sitting around criticizing so much and just say thank you. Hallelujah. That's good enough all by itself. Amen. God, as a matter, God wouldn't mind if all you did is walked into his sanctuary and said thank you. All too often there are some people who attend church today who just sit there. They won't sing from the songbook. They never come to the altar for prayer. They won't teach in the classroom. They won't welcome visitors at the door. They won't help out in the nursery. They won't share a personal testimony. They won't even put a smile on their face. And all too often, they'll just sit there looking at their watch, checking out the preacher's grammar, evaluating the singer's voice, watching the babies play, filing their fingernails, counting the seal tiles. Amen. Or they just simply thumb their books through the Bible. They ain't reading nothing. They just notice, it was a man, a sick man, who finally realized that only Jesus We need to get back there.
So I wish somebody would shout, only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus could supply what he needed. Only Jesus could heal where it hurt. Only Jesus could give what he wanted. Only Jesus could grant what he asked for. Only Jesus could provide what he must have. Only Jesus could correct what's wrong. And that only Jesus could offer him what was so desperately hoped for.
Only Jesus. And this was the day in this man's life that he discovered that what the doctors could not do, Jesus could. What the church couldn't do, Jesus could. What the authorities couldn't do, Jesus could. What the specialists couldn't do, Jesus could. What the moralists couldn't do, Jesus could. What the experts couldn't do, Jesus could. Yes, this was the day that he realized that what the professionals couldn't do, Jesus could. Am I talking to anybody up in here? Hey, I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what your friends say. I don't care what your neighbors say. I don't care what your boss say. I don't care what the bank says. Nobody can do it like Jesus can.
And there's been a multitude of people who have also realized that Jesus could not only heal a person's soul by forgiving sin, he can also heal your emotions. He can fix your marriage. He can heal your body. He can put relationships back together. He can fix your attitude. He can mend a broken heart. He can give you what nobody else can give you. He can fix your image that's all messed up. I wish I had a witness up in the house. I wish somebody would just say, Jesus can do it. Jesus proved that he had the power and authority to forgive sin, and by revealing that he had the power and authority to heal the body. As a matter of fact, I believe that every problem that he solves proves that he can forgive sin. Every burden that he lifts proves he can forgive sin. Every storm that he calms proves that he can forgive sin. And no sooner had Jesus spoke the word, arise, take up your bed, and go your way into your house, that the man sick of the palsy immediately got up, and without any help at all, Jesus was sufficient. Look at somebody and say, Jesus is sufficient. He needed no other person to assist him, and Jesus was altogether sufficient. No matter when, no matter what, no matter who, it may not always happen just the way it did him, but never, never, never say that it won't happen. Never say it can't happen. Never say that God can't do it, because he can do everything but fail.
I'm almost out your way. Some of you looking at me funny. But notice the big difference in the man that had been sick of the palsy. Before Jesus ministered to him, he needed to be helped himself. But now he could help somebody. Huh? He had to be carried on the bed before. But now he could carry the bed. Y'all ain't seeing this. Other folk had to minister to him then. But now he could minister to others. He had been a burden to everybody else, but now he could become a blessing to everybody else. He had been a pitiful case, but now he had become an inspiration to others. I know I'm talking to somebody now, because when you first got here 13 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, you were messed up. And when people first saw you, they didn't know what to make of you. But as you sat under the word of God, God lifted you up. And now when you walk in the sanctuary, you say, look at me now. You couldn't do it, and you couldn't do it, and she couldn't do it, but God. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody in here? Has the word changed your life? Has the word difference in your life? Do you look different? You lose the look? Y'all ain't talking to me up in here.
That's all right.
Before this man, before Jesus ministered to him, all he had to look forward to was misery and despair. But now he was made an example of God's glorious mercy and grace. I'm glad I've been made an example of His glory and grace. I'm not ashamed to say I was messed up. I'm not ashamed to say I was beat up and beat down. I'm not ashamed to say my face was dragging the ground. But now, look at me now. Look, y'all, I said look at me now. Hey, amen. It don't even matter how you look at me. I'm the one standing here, and you can't shut me up. Hey, amen. It don't matter what you say. See, that's what God will do for you, huh? He'll set you up. Won't He do it? I said He'll set you up.
Yeah.
What a difference Jesus can make in your life. Amen. No doubt this man became a testimony and a witness. Wherever he went from day to day, people on the street would whisper when they see him go by, "That's him. That's him." No doubt laborers on the job would talk among themselves as he labored alongside of them. "That's the man. He could move." No doubt even his families would arise every morning when they would see him come in for breakfast and think, "He's the one." No doubt even the worshipers in the church, when they saw him approaching, would welcome him by saying, "You're the one, aren't you?" No doubt even his old friends, who used to have to carry him, lost their jobs. Hallelujah. Anybody lost their jobs taking care of you because God picked you up? See, some people, they live off of your mess. They live off of the fact that they got to minister to you. But you can look at them and say, "Look at me now, baby. I don't need your help. I don't need your hand. I don't need your pity. Amen. Look at me now. Look at what I used to be, but look at me now. I'm walking by myself. I'm singing by myself. I got my own testimony. I can praise Him by myself. I don't need you singing for me, praying for me, dancing for me. I can do it all by myself. Why? Because the Lord lifted me. God saved me. God fixed me up."
And now, I'm the witness of the power of the Lord operating in me. I'm the witness of the glory of the God revealed in me. I'm the witness of the love of God extended through me. I'm the witness of the grace of God that's abounding in me. I'm the witness of the peace of God that's satisfying me. I'm the one now.
And may we never become accustomed to the miracles and the wonders of the Lord. Always be astounded about what God does. And may we never forget, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or in other words, what He did back then, He can still do today. What do you have to do? You got to trust Him and believe that God will never fail. Amen. I heard somebody say He may not come when you want Him, but He's always on time. Somebody even made a song of it, said He's an on time God. Yes, He is. I'm glad about it. I wish I had some folk who didn't mind celebrating the goodness of the Lord. I don't know what He did for you, but I'm sure it's enough to celebrate. I don't know how far He brought you, but I'm sure it's enough to celebrate. I don't know whether He had to heal you. I don't know if He had to pick you up. I don't know whether He had to make a way for you. All I know is whatever He's done for you, it's enough to give Him praise. It's enough to say, "Lord, I thank You." It's enough to say, "God, I appreciate You." It's enough to say, "I praise You it all by myself. That's why when I go into the sanctuary, preacher, I don't need anybody else in there to lift up the name of the Lord. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul, I said my soul, my soul, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Look at somebody, say, my soul, not your soul. I don't need your soul to shout for me. My soul, my soul, my soul cries out, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you lift up your hands and say, hallelujah? Shall I get some prayer warrior, huh? To say, Lord, thank you. If I never say anything else, another day, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're worthy. Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you. Hey. Hey. Hallelujah. 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 Hang around. Hang around. Stay under the word. See what happens in your life. Stay under the preaching. See what happens in your life. It ain't the singing. Amen. It ain't the dancing. It ain't the test. It's the, huh? It's the preach word. You stay under the word of God and watch the change that takes place in your life. Can I have a witness? Anybody know the word will change you? Anybody know the word of it, huh? The word will make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference, I tell you. It'll make a difference, I tell you. See, at the end of the day, when all the church folk are gone, you got something that you're wrestling with. It ain't the dance that you're going to remember. Or the song that was sung. It's the voice of the preacher. From the word of God. You hear it at midnight saying, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You hear it. At midnight, when it tells you, when you don't know where you're going to get your next meal from. I was young and old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. When you've got bad news from the doctor and he says there's no cure, and you hear the word preached from the word, saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You hear the word say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You hear the word. You hear the word. When you want to move on an issue, the Lord's telling you to be still. You hear the word that was preached. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That thing that you're wrestling with today, you hear the word. Stand on your feet, won't you? The word of God. You have no idea the gift that you have.